This is Infants on Thrones.
Minnesota.
Hey everybody, this is Randy, and I experience a phenomenon called hypnagogia, where in coming out of sleep or going into sleep, you suffer from hallucinations. Often you're paralyzed, sometimes you act out the dreams. Last year for our Feared podcast, I shared an experience where I felt like I was attacked by a demon. It was a very powerful experience in my life, and you can go back and listen to it if you want to. A couple of my favorite experiences of this type was one of them was when I was at BYU and I was asleep in the bottom bunk, and I had a dream that I somehow found myself in a glass casket. As soon as that door was shut in my dream, with all four limbs, I violently launched up on the top bunk, sending my best friend and his bed off its hinges, flying across the room, where he woke up midair and landed on the desk below. I actually wish that guy was here to tell the story from his perspective, because he is a hilarious guy and a really good storyteller. One of my other favorite experiences of this type to share is when I was newly married and we were visiting my wife's parents. And so we were sleeping in an unfamiliar place, which probably led to my uneasy sleep. And I had a dream that my wife was trying to kill me. I then woke up, but not realizing I was awake and still thinking I was in the dream, grabbed the nearest pillow, put it over my wife's face, attempting to kill her. And she woke up and easily knocked the pillow off, and I felt stupid. But it's always fun to tell people at parties, especially after a couple of drinks, that I've actually tried to kill my wife unsuccessfully. But by far, the type of hypnagogic hallucinations that I have experienced in my life involve arachnophobia. I've had three different types of arachnophobia hallucinations. The first and most common type is I'm paralyzed in bed, and spiders the size of my fucking hand are descending from the ceiling. When I snap out of the paralysis and actually wake up, I find myself flailing in the air, trying to swat away all these gigantic spiders. The second kind is that I have a hallucination that spiders have actually infested the bed. They're everywhere, all over the bed. And when I snap out of that, I find myself grabbing the nearest pillow and just swatting all over the bed. And the third and most rare kind is when I actually get out of bed and chase the spiders along the floor and even at the baseboards. Now, probably a lot of you are thinking, my poor wife, but she's actually kind of gotten used to this shit and doesn't really faze her anymore. It's just part of being married to Randy. And it helps that she's just fucking awesome. So what is it about spiders? Why do they cause me to have all of these ridiculous fear-induced hallucinations? After all, I don't have any experience in my life like Jeff Daniels in Arachnophobia, where he says his earliest memory was when he was 3 years old in his crib and his spider crawls up his leg and he was paralyzed with fear and he couldn't move. I don't have any kind of experience like that, or at least I can't remember one. And I don't have this same kind of heebie-jeebie reaction to any other insects or snakes or any other creepy crawly things. It's just spiders. And intellectually, I'm totally on board with spiders. I know that they're vital to the local ecosystems and to the ecosystem of the world in general. They are the most prolific hunters on the planet. They provide a valuable food source to lots of animals, including especially birds. They're also amazing and diverse. They produce silk for their spider webs that pound for pound is stronger than steel and is even being researched to see if we can find a way to replicate it. And even their venom is being studied in the field of medicine for potential beneficial uses. And lastly, virtually all spider species are harmless to human beings. So why the irrational fear? The more I thought about it, the more it just came down to what I call the ick factor. I find spiders icky. The way they move, the way they look, it just sends an uncomfortable chill down my spine, and I just have to resist this urge to smash it as fast as I can. So even though intellectually, my rational brain can appreciate spiders and can actually respect spiders and for all they do, but it just can't get on page with my emotional part of my brain. Something inside me is disgusted and has a fear of spiders. And the more I thought about it, the more it started to remind me of another kind of phobia that I once had when I was a believer. And that phobia is homophobia.
The Book of Mormon, we learn that wickedness never was happiness. Some suppose that they were preset and cannot overcome what they feel are inborn tendencies toward the impure and the unnatural. Not so. Why would our Heavenly Father do that to anyone,
I was taught that homosexuality is an abomination to my God. Homosexual acts were a sin second only to murder. And that the acceptance of homosexuality is what led to Sodom and Gomorrah getting destroyed. Or at least that's what I was taught. After all, that's where the word sodomy came from. And I bought it. And I believed it. So much so that I spent a lot of time, a lot of my own personal time, making phone calls and knocking on doors, trying to convince people to vote for Prop 22 in California in the year 2000, which was the predecessor to Prop 8 in 2008. But there was a seminal moment in my believing life where I was at USC in dental school. And one of the professors there was flamboyantly gay. And he became my mentor. And this one day in clinic, he kind of cornered me and asked me a question. Everyone knew I was Mormon. There was four of us, me and three other Mormon friends that were always seen together. We always hung out. We were the Mormon boys. And this professor's question wasn't, do Mormons accept homosexuality as an acceptable practice? It was more of a poignant one. He wanted to know if me and my Mormon friends made jokes behind his back or jokes behind closed doors about gay people, making fun of gay people. So I was presented with two choices. I could either lie and save face for the church, because honestly that's what I was thinking about, is I didn't want the church to have a bad name. Or I could tell the truth, because the truth was we had made many jokes about this guy. I chose the former and felt horrible about it. I even told that story of shame in church a couple of times as a lesson of how to be more Christ-like. Now, fast forward 5 or 6 years to 2008, when Prop 8 came out, and then I had my faith crisis and left the church. And when I left the church, I became fully intellectually converted to the gay rights cause. I had shed all of the intellectual baggage that it came with being raised Mormon. And I was able to look at the issue with a more intellectual, rational, and empathetic approach, which then made me feel guilty about my history as a homophobe. And I went through a weird phase where I almost felt like the president of the gay fan club. When I'd be on the street and I'd see someone who was obviously gay, I had to fight this urge to go up and hug them and tell them how much I accept them. And I understand now how that's very condescending and patronizing, but that's just how I felt. How I feel now can be represented very succinctly and hilariously by my favorite comedian, Louis C.K.
I never understood people judging people for the way they have sex. So some people get angry at homosexuals just for being gay. They get mad at them. I never really understood that, you know, because they're just having sex with each other. It's like I can understand if gay people were just running out in the streets, just fucking people in the ass willy-nilly, just like a pestilence, like without asking, you know. Like you're at the ATM. Hey, what the fuck? Jesus!
But there was something that was still lingering, still bothering me. I felt like that if I was intellectually on the same page as the gay rights movement, then I wouldn't have a problem watching a normal gay movie with the same kind of amorous scenes that I'm totally comfortable with in a heterosexual way. So shortly after my faith crisis, I found myself surfing the channels on DirecTV, and I came across a gay channel called Logo, L-O-G-O. When I turned it to that channel, there was just a typical two guys on a first date scene. They started out talking awkwardly at the doorstep of the date. Then one of them invited the other in. Then one thing led to another. They started making out and ripping each other's clothes off, and I found myself changing the channel in disgust. And once again, I felt that icky factor settling in. And I found this bothersome. I maybe feel like a hypocrite. I couldn't get my emotional brain to get on the same page as my rational brain. And just like with spiders, I could see that there was no reason to fear homosexuals or homosexuality. Just like with spiders, I could see only benefits. Not just for the gay people themselves, but for their families, and preventing all that unnecessary suffering when a gay child comes out of the closet. And I think society as a whole would only benefit by the acceptance of homosexuality. So why did I still feel icky? But then about a year later, something important happened. My wife and I started to watch a TV show that had long been canceled on Netflix called 6 Feet Under. Those of you who are Dexter fans will know who Michael C. Hall is. In this one, he doesn't play a tough serial killer. He plays a timid homosexual mortician. And his boyfriend is named Keith the Cop. Well, the first couple of seasons, I found myself grinning and bearing the homosexual scenes that involved making out or having sex. And it was just because the show was just so damn good. But then something happened to me by the 5th season. When I'd see a scene like this...
You can give a fuck for once in your life about somebody besides yourself!
Where David and Keith get into a normal argument that any heterosexual couple would get into, and then have makeup sex. Instead of turning away in disgust or at least cringing, I found myself saying, "Aww." And it was during that time of watching that show that my brain was purged of the ick factor. I no longer found public displays of affection or even passionate love scenes between two gay men as icky. My emotional brain had finally gotten on to the same page as my rational brain, and I felt great. I no longer felt like a hypocrite. And I think this icky factor is a pretty common thing amongst heterosexuals, especially those that are sheltered. And I think it's what makes religious leaders, and let's face it, the only significant opposition to equal rights for gays is religion. It makes it an easy sell for religious leaders to get up in front of their congregations and condemn homosexuality.
We teach a standard of moral conduct that will protect us from Satan's many substitute counterfeits for marriage.
Because, you know, the congregation already feels icky about it anyway, so it's a pretty easy sell. And my hope is that someday homosexuality will become so mainstream and so common and so accepted that gay couples will feel safe and comfortable walking down the street, showing the same kinds of public displays of affection that we heterosexuals take for granted.
I like spiders, I like worms. They don't sting and they don't spread germs. Worms have no legs, spiders have eight. I think spiders and worms are great.
I also dream of a day where gay marriage will be legal in all 50 states. A day where gay teenagers don't see suicide as an alternative to coming out to their parents. And the admirable campaign, "It Gets Better," will become obsolete because it will be no longer necessary. And shows like Will and Grace and Modern Family have made major inroads in this direction. And I think we're going to get to this place eventually. But that it be sooner rather than later is my humble prayer in the name of logic, reason, empathy, and all that is good. Amen.
What we once saw we had, we didn't. And what we have now will never be that way again. So we call upon the author to explain. Some tight kids straddle the streets. We've shunned them from the greasy grind. The poor little things, they look so sad and old as they mount us from behind. I ask them to desist and to refrain, and then we call upon the author to explain.
Why would our Heavenly Father do that to anyone?
Well, rosary clutched in his hand, he died with tubes up his nose and a cabal.